It's Mother's Day, so it's time for a Mother's Day message. Before I start the message, I'd just like to share a little bit. As many of you know, that I was not a Christian until I was up like 25 years old, 26. Prior to that, well, if you're not a Christian, you're a heathen. And so even heathens have mothers. Heathens have mothers. And my poor mom had four of the most heathen kids on this side of the planet, I think. My mama was about this tall, and she has red hair. And mama had a little bit of a temper. I can remember many times me and my brother would test mom. And one of my favorite things and favorite memories is when we were getting disciplined by mom. Because mom had this broom. And she thought that broom could fix everything. And I remember me and my brother on the floor, we're fighting, and she's going, "Aunt, you stop fighting." She is pounding us with this broom. And before long, we are laughing so hard because she thinks she's doing damage, right? So we're just rolling over. And I think that's how mom mostly broke our fights up in our house. Mom was like a referee, like an umpire. Let me tell you, she was tough. She was tough. And I can remember there were good times in my home, and there were very sad times in my home. There were times when my whole house was just a total mess. My dad had lots of issues with drinking, and my dad had injuries and drugs and drinking mixed, and it just my house was a mess. Me and my brother, we left home as soon as we were old enough to go because we were ready to move on. But I want you to know, that little mama, she was tough. Me and my brother shot a deer, and we were so happy we got our first deer. We drug it home. Dad wasn't there. We brought it in, and we threw it out there in the yard, and we skinned it, and mama said, "Uh-uh, you boys ain't going nowhere." Said, "Deer season's not over till the meat's in the freezer." And she meant it. Boy, she made us toe the line. We had to go help. We had to serve. We had to help mom with the dishes. But then, I don't know how it happened, somehow our family kind of got divided. My brother kind of went off with my dad because my dad was a mechanic. And then we all had to be mechanics, whether we were mechanical or not. You ever been there? If dad was a mechanic, we were mechanics, you know. And then my dad and I kind of got later off together into cowboying and horses and that. But my poor mom, trying to keep all of us going, she had to be superwoman. Because my family was a rough family. We were just rough. And we played hard, worked hard, played hard. But poor mom, she just had to take care of us. Well, one thing I know about mom now, tomorrow she'll be 85 or 86 years old tomorrow. And usually I'm not here on this day because normally I go to New Mexico to be with my mom on Mother's Day because her Mother's Day and birthday fall on the same day. And this year her birthday is actually tomorrow. But my mom has things she has said that she's going to do, and one of the things she said she was going to do was live to be 100. And she said, "If I do, I want you boys to jump out of a cake for me." She says, "We owe her that." Did I say she was a little? No. At 85, she hasn't forgotten. I think she still remembers. But one of the funny things is that I'm not going to be there this Mother's Day. And what's okay, because when I come in June and I tell her Happy Mother's Day, she won't know the difference. His mom has Alzheimer's really bad. And she's down to about a couple of minutes of real time. And she'll ask me how we're doing on the phone 5 or 6 times, 7 times. And you know what? It's okay. Because I love my mom. She can ask me how the kids are doing 100 times, and I'll take the time to tell her how the kids are doing. And you know what? In 5 minutes, she won't even know I was on the phone. She won't remember a thing, but she's still my mom. And I love her for all that she has done for me. She was my protector. She was my shield. And when I got old enough, I was her protector, and I was her shield. And I watched out for my mom. And yes, I'm a mama's boy. And yes, she called me Ricky. And I'm very proud of that name now. There are a few boys that got their noses broke over it. That and touching my ears. which haven't been the same size since I was born. I've been trying to grow into them. Mom said I would. I trust her. I'm still waiting. I just wanted to open with just saying, we never forget our moms, even though my mom is 1,500 miles away, and today is Mother's Day. My memories of her are just as fond right now as they ever are, because she was a good mother, a loving mother. She was a mother that would do anything for her children, would sacrifice anything she had so that her children would get by. She was a great mom. She still is a great mom. But boy, don't make her mad, because she's a fired-up little redhead. Whew! She'll set you straight, even at this age. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to share from the Word about Jochebed. Everybody's going, Jochebed, what book is that in? It's a portrait of the godly woman, and it's in Exodus. So if you would, our text today is going to be Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So if you would turn there with me. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to get excited today. I done made my mind up. Hello? I'm going to make my mind up right now. This is going to be a good word. I'm going to give God praise. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. In this passage, we are introduced to a woman named Jochebed. I'm glad I'm not named that. She stands out as one of the greatest mothers revealed in the pages of Scripture. Her selfless love and sacrifice made possible the exodus of God's people from Egypt. It would do us well this morning to look at the life of this great mother. As we do, we find characteristics that stand as a reminder of all our mothers' teachings, teaching them what they should and could be, and what we should be and well as well should be. Yet, please don't think that that I'm talking about this message for mothers only. This message applies to anyone and everyone who's listening today. Dads, older, younger, men, women, this message can be taught and you can learn something from it. God has a word for you this morning. So let's be looking at what a portrait of this godly woman is like. First, I want to look at her credentials. You know, you have credentials. Like, I have credentials. I have some from the Assemblies of God. But I have credentials called my mother and my father. They're kind of like credentials for us. They state kind of who we are and where we came from. And like my background, where I came from my background and where I've gone in the Lord. My credentials are that my dad is now saved. My mom is now saved. My little sister who died in my arms is saved. And I'm still believing that my older sister will get saved. It's your credentials. It's who you are. We are God's children. We want our credentials to say we bring those in our family closer to God. That's who we want to be in Christ, our credentials. But let's look at Jochebed's credentials. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, and there went out a man named Aram of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. Now, why do you think that's important? Because Levi were the tribe that took care of the temple. They were the priests. So we see that they were devoted to the Lord. Right off the bat, that Jochebed was devoted to the Lord. And Aram eventually would come to be the priest and carry out the functions of the temple, of the tabernacle. So he was not only a priest, but he was active in the priesthood. They were both men and women of God. She and her husband were devoted to the Lord and willing to obey God instead of a wicked command of Pharaoh. Now we're going to find out this is like a car wreck coming up. Yep. Two cars going opposite directions, coming at each other, and they're going to hit head on. Pharaoh has what he wants. And our God has what he wants. And we're going to find out who wins this battle. Let's look at her courage. In Exodus 2:2, the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was godly, goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Why do you think she hid him? Well, there was a decree out. It was from Pharisees, right? Pharaoh, yeah. Pharaoh had made a decree. And I'll tell you about his decree in a minute, but this mom, do you think she knew about this decree before she had the baby? But she said, you know, I'm a woman of God and my husband's a man of God. We desire a boy. We want a child. They had a daughter, but they desired a son, and they wanted a son, and they didn't care what the costs were. They weighed the choices. They weighed the costs. They had another child, and it was a boy. But Pharaoh did not want them to have a boy. Let's hear what Pharaoh's decree says. In Exodus 1, 15 through 22, and the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Sephara and the other was Purah. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stool, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. There's a good thing to fear right there. The midwives feared God and did not as the king had commanded the midwives. Did not what the king had commanded. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you not done this thing and have saved these men child alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because of the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Okay. For they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives have come upon them. Therefore God dealt well. What did God deal? He dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very strongly. Even though the Pharaoh was trying to kill all the male children of the Hebrew families, God had a plan. And he had a man and a woman that was willing to listen to what he said and be obedient to him. God protected them. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. That means they had a place to stay. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born shall cast into the river, and every daughter he shall save alive. Well, let's look at the determination of Jochebed. You know it had to be hard on her. Everything was against her. Nothing was for her. God gave us parents who are not afraid to take stands for what which is right in these dark and sinful, wicked days. Parents who were willingly to say, enough is enough. My children is going to learn the way of the Lord. Man, I'll tell you something. I saw a mama who said enough was enough on television the other day. There was a riot in Baltimore. And I mean, the streets were full of chaos. And it was full of people breaking the law. And boy, there was this young black man. He put on his hoodie and he put on his mask and he was headed down. Oh, he had it in his mind. I'm going to go down there and be a disruptor. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to protest. Well, I can't wait. He probably snuck out of the house because he was not young, pretty young. And he gets out of the house and he goes down to the protest. Mama comes in. Where's my son? Oh, where's my son? Oh, did he go down there? Or I told him not to. Sure enough, boy, mama says, I'm going looking for him. Woo, she's hot. Woo, she's steaming now. She goes down to that protest and she sees all the craziness and all the stupidity and all the damage and harm. And who does she see with a rock in his hand in front of the police is what? Her son. Oh, she gets indignant now. She goes up and she grabs, anybody see this on TV? Am I telling it kind of right? She grabs him and shoves him and slaps him and pushes, and she's kicking and she's stomping. And she not for one block, two blocks, three blocks, man. She still said, get yourself back up to that house. Boy, you ain't going to be a part of that. That's what we need, moms like that. We need moms like that today. It may not be a riot that you can see, but it's a riot in our spirit. The enemy's coming against our very lives. He's coming against our very kids. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy our children. There's a riot in this America. There's a riot in the spiritual. There's a riot in the heavenlies. And we've got to win that battle. These moms have got to step up. Boy, she stepped up. Woo! I said, that seems like my mama, but her hair's black instead of red. My mama would have whooped me good. I ain't lying. She had that broom would not have been enough. A baseball bat. She had started there and worked her way to a sledgehammer. Mama loved me. But she wanted me to be right too. Here's an interesting note. It is interesting to note that in our day, often the young people have more of a heart for God and His business than do their parents. It is a blessing when the old, when the young folks live for God, but it's the parents who ought to get the example in courage and in godliness. Parents, we need to be the example in courage and in godliness for those who are following behind. We need to take care of those we're leading up to the Lord. We need to take care of our kids. We need to step out and watch out for our young ones. You know, with these youth, I'm telling you, that's why we want it. We want them to go to camp. No hindrances. No financial hindrances to get these kids to camp. Because that's where they're going to meet God. Hello? That's where they're going to get spiritually lifted up. We need to be a part of that. But as mom and dads, we've got to lead. We have got to lead. We were at a church picnic down up here at the ballpark here in town where the gazebo was, and we're all having a great time, and I'm talking to people, and boy, we have a lot of kids all running around playing ball and down below, and I'm talking with two or three men, and I happened to glance up the hill a little ways where all the city park was, and I seen the walk. Anybody know what the walk is? A mama who's offended. You know, a mama who's offended has a certain walk. I'm going to try and duplicate that walk this morning. She was walking kind of like, and I said, "Oh, Lord, help us. Somebody's fixing to die." That woman was mad. Boy, she was coming to our picnic, but she wasn't going to eat. She was going to do a lot of chewing, but she wasn't going to eat. And I said, "Lord, what can I do for this woman?" He said, "Go down there and talk to her." I said, "Oh, help me, Jesus." So I headed her off, caught her before she got to all the picnic tables and everything. I said, "What's wrong? Your kids throwed my son's brand new ball in the water." I said, "How much was it worth?" "Here, take the money." But she was determined. She had that walk. You know what? I bet she has good kids too. Because she's willing to go to battle for them. We need to go to battle for our kids. They're important to us. Yeah, I love what little kids do. Listen to this. Once a little boy asked his father what a Christian was. For a long time, the father sat with his son, explaining in great detail exactly what the Christian was supposed to be. When he had finished, he felt like he had done a pretty good job of describing a Christian, as well as himself. His illusions, however, were shattered when his son asked, "Dad, have I ever seen one?" Oh, that hurt. "Dad, have I ever seen one? Is your house empty of God's presence?" Mm-mm-mm. Do your kids know whether or not you are a Christian? They ought to be out telling everybody, "Man, my dad makes me go to church twice on Sunday and on Wednesday night and Saturday if there's an event." "Yes, you are going all three times." That'd be what we say. It's not that you get to go, you got to go. It's that you get to go, son. You get to go, daughter, because the blessings of the Lord are in the house. Amen? Amen. Well, let's look at her confidence and her faith. In Exodus 2:3, there's a great act of faith. When she could no longer hide him, And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of the burl bushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child wherein, and she laid it in the flags by the riverbank. Now, folks, there's a lot right here. Here's this mom, Jochebed, who has a son, and she hid him for 3 months. The reason she hid him for 3 months was why? Pharaoh had a decree out, didn't he? That all the children, all the boy children, had to be killed. They just took them from their mother, held them up, and threw them into the Nile River, and they died there. She was probably, the child got 3 years old. How many know that children get colic? They cry a lot. Or they get sick, they cry a lot. And she was hiding him for 3 months. She was hiding him. But you know, when they get older, they get louder. Anybody ever noticed that? And when they get about 15 or 16, you just... I'm not really. You don't turn them off. But they do get louder. All right? So she had to do something. She was desperate. When you're thinking about losing your child, don't you become desperate? Don't you? Is there anything you wouldn't do to save one of your children, especially a little child, a baby? And don't you know that she had to ask God, "God, why? What am I supposed to be doing?" And when she made this little basket and she pitched in it with pitch and tar and made it where it wouldn't leak. Can you see her doing that? And then she's thinking, I got to be really sure, really careful this thing will not tip over, that it's balanced. And she says, my baby's going to be in that basket. She didn't run down to Walmart and buy an Easter basket and throw him in, folks. She spent meticulous time that a mother would spend on her child to make sure that her child lives. She worked hard and diligently on it. She tested it, I'm sure. She weaved it. She made it. She sealed it. And then, the greatest love she could do, she wanted that child to live more than anything. She placed that child in that basket. And she sent that baby into the very river that the other kids were dying in. Says she put it by the flocks. Wow. She laid it by the flags at the river's bank. I don't know if you've all been around big rivers before, but I have. At any given moment, the edges of the rivers can erupt in currents that are unbelievable. When I was in Washington State, I saw whole houses go over into the river and be crushed at a waterfall that was just down about a half mile. We lived right on that river. Actually, God blessed us. We moved to the higher mountain house just 3 or 4 months before the big flood washed the house we were in, buried it underwater. God was good to us. Let's look at verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And the Lord had something in his mind that Jochebed could not have possibly dreamed. And in her maidens walked along the river and said, the Nile. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. The Holy Spirit had everything timed just right. The place, the person, and the progress. All right? And when the daughter of Pharaoh had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the child wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Someone has well said, on that memorable day, God floated his navy on the tears of a baby's cheek. And why would they say that? Because guess what? Moses, that baby is Moses. And Moses, as we know, is going to be raised by the Pharaoh's courts. He's going to be raised as an Egyptian. He's going to learn their laws, their languages, and their ways. And right there, God just sends Moses with his battleships and all his fleet, floats it right into the heartland of Egypt. Amen? And then he says his sister, which is Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may come and nurse the child for you? And Miriam was led by the Lord in doing so. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Do we know who the child's mother was? Yeah. Isn't that something? And then we go on to read in verse 9 and 10. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto the Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because he was drawn out of the water. There's one point here that a lot of us miss in this story. The first big test of Moses' mom was putting him in the basket and releasing him in that river, not knowing exactly where he would go. She lost him once. But here she loses him the second time. For now she's been trained. He's been taken care of. He's weaned. He's become a young man. And now she says, I have to give him to Pharaoh. I have to give him to Pharaoh. Folks, could you up and give your children to Pharaoh? Whew, man, the faith of this woman. Her faith was so strong that she was named among along with her husband to God's Hall of Fame. Hall of Faithfuls in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. What a faith she had. Yes, God? Yes, I'll finish the message. You know what she did? She resisted the world, didn't she? She resisted the world. The world cries out for the death of her son, but this mother stood strong in the face of attack and placed her son above the will of the world. Boy, that's a powerful mom. I want a mom. Mom, ooh, yeah. The world demands that parents hand over their children and allow them to be trained and taught by the ways of the world. The world is everywhere. It's all around us. Our kids are touched by the world wherever they go. You can't go anywhere without seeing the worldly things. I guarantee you, you got to be careful what you turn the TV on to. Even the commercials are pretty bad. But our children need and deserve better than that. We need some parents who will teach children the ways of the Lord and steer them clear of the world and its devices. It takes faith to go ahead, to go against the grain and raise your children for the Lord. But God will bless you and them for it. Folks, we got to go against the way of the world. We got to go against the flow of things. If you're just walking along the flow of this world, disaster is going to be coming to you. It's just a matter of time. You have to be with God. It takes faith to go against the grain. You know, how many know that 20 years ago, we homeschooled our kids? At the time that we homeschooled our kids, it wasn't because we were mad at the school. It's because we felt like they would get a better education if we homeschooled them. We'd put a good Christian-based foundation under them and then teach them everything they needed to know. It didn't help that Joyce had a master's degree in education, but that was part of the decision. But we homeschooled our kids. Now, let me tell you something. Do you think we caught flack for that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Persecution from my sweet little red-headed mother. Bless her pea-picking little redhead. Oh, man, my whole side of the family thought I had just went off the deep end. But you know what? I determined that it was right. I said, it's right. And that's all there is to it. It took faith to place the child in the river. This was the same instrument. Just think about it, the same instrument which was being used to destroy the other babies. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save. It took faith for this mother to take her hands off the life of this child and leave him in the will of God. Do you see what she did? Twice she had to take her hands off that child. Twice she had to have faith. Twice she had to depend on God. Moms, stay focused on God. Stay focused on the things of God. I guarantee you are going to be better for it, and so is your family. We see her charity in verse 9 and 10. She gave of herself. She did not care about her own self. All she cared about was that child. What he would become, what would happen to him, where was he going to go, who was going to find him, was he going to get tipped over, was a wave going to take him down the river, what was going to happen. She did not know for sure, but I know one thing, I bet you she prayed. I bet you she got on her knees before her God and said, God, it's not within my power to change what is taking place here today, but I know if this child stays here, death is imminent. If we stay in the same rut we're in, death is imminent. If we can't get God filled, God powered, and Holy Spirit anointed, then we're in trouble. Hello? She gave her son. She gave her son. A godly woman willingly said, Lord, I dedicate him to you. You take him. He's yours to be used the way you desire, God. She gave her son to the Lord and for her nation. She trusted God more than anything. God gave his son to the world for salvation. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given. God's gift is always greater. And we find that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us, and that he died for all, that they would live, that they live should not and henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Our lives ought to be toward Jesus. Raising our kids to love Jesus. Teaching them the Word of God. Teaching them how powerful God's Word is. And that they don't have to be a part of the world. They just got to love Jesus. We see her compensation. Her son became a great man of God, delivering the nation from the bondage of Egypt. What would have happened if she had said no? What if she had denied to take her son and put him in that little basket? Somehow God would make it happen. The opportunity was hers to take, wasn't it? And she took it. God's plan was completed in Moses' life and in the mother's life. God's plan was completed. Now I want you to know something. God has plans for you as well. God has plans. Folks, God gave you very precious, precious, precious jewels. They're called your children. And we treat them as such. We love on them, protect them, cover them, take care of them, nurture them, train them. Don't coddle them. My parents weren't coddlers. Not at all. See, I came home from the Navy and I didn't have to work, but that was against my dad's rules. If you were under his house, you worked. So I said, "Dad, I'm on vacation." He said, "You're going to college." "Yeah, it's a vacation." So me and Dad didn't see eye to eye. And so one day I came home and all my stuff was out on the porch. He said, "Enjoy your vacation. You don't work, you don't eat at my house," he said. "Thank you, Dad. You made a man out of me." Hello? Parents, you need to know who you are raising. You could be a Hannah, a Mary, a president. You never know. Therefore, give them the best you have while you have them. And turn out God-fearing, God-following young men and women who will live for the Lord and the glory of the Lord. Young adults whom God can use for His glory and into the future. Young people who will install the same values as in their children that you have installed in them. I would love for my kids to be just like their mother. They have a lot better chance of making it. I want to share a little story with you here. It's called When God Created Mothers. When the good Lord created mothers, He was into a sixth day of overtime. When the angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." And the Lord replied, "Have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. A 6 pairs of hands." And the angel shook her head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another in the back of her head that seeks what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, one in the front to look at a child when he goofs up and says, 'I understand, I love you,' without as much as uttering a word. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself," said the Lord. Already have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on a pound of hamburger, can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheeks of the mother. "There's a leak," she said. She pronounced, "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." That's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" asked the angel. And the Lord replied, "It's for joy. It's for sadness, disappointment, pain, and loneliness, and pride." "You're a genius," shouted the angel. With a somber look on her face, the Lord said, "I didn't put it there." Mm-mm. How about a hand now for the crowning jewel of God's creation, our moms? Amen? Give our moms a hand.
The Lord, help us never to be too busy for mom. If you could take time and great effort on for her on the cross
in your death. Help us to love her while we have her in our life. Mary witnessed the crucifixion from the foot of the cross. Can you even imagine how she must have felt? Jesus turned to John and said, "Take care of her and look at his mother," and says, "Let him stand in my place as your son." John lived a very long time, and I believe he took care of his mom, of Mary, until she went to heaven. But look what Jesus did. Jerry, would you come? Jesus is on the cross bearing the weight of the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. Can you just see that? Yet, he sees to it and makes sure his mother is taken care of after he is gone. And as God, Jesus is dealing with eternal matters. But as a man, he's showing all of us today how important it is to take care and to love our mothers. Praise the Lord. I believe in Jesus Christ and the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son, that because of her, that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by him at the cross as he died. I believe that the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel and softer than down and more resilient than green splashings of a hillside. It closes wounds and melts disappointments and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a reflection of all that we can expect of him, both in this life and the next. I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her children, through her to her children, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. Moms, you desire to be be lifted up. Moms, you have an opportunity to bless and to love your children. Your moms, and we're so thankful that we have one. I am so thankful that my mom is 85 and I can go in June and still have Mother's Day with her and she'll think it's Mother's Day. But that's okay. She's still mom. We owe our moms a lot. They go through a lot for us. They sacrifice. They give it all. I've seen my mom go through so many tragedies. You have to understand, in our small little town, we had a company hospital and a company store and a company gas station, a company housing. And in that hospital, there were file cabinets, the old metal file cabinets. And poor mom, because we would go to that hospital and there were the A's, the B's, the blues, and the C's in that file cabinet. We had our own drawer. I put my mom through so many things, 3 broken shoulders, concussion, some horse throwing me off, stepped on me, broke my shoulder. My brother ran and jumped over the porch rail. I ran and caught my toes, broke my arm, my second skull fracture. I ran through a plate glass window running from a dog, right through it, bashed. There was mom to pick me up, bandage my cuts and my bruises. Mom's been there for me all my life. When I was hurting, she was there. When I got all my teeth knocked out in the mines and I couldn't take care of myself, my mom made the trip all the way from Arizona just to be with me, just to stand there beside me, hold me, and help me get through the blood and the pain of having my teeth crushed. That's the kind of mom she was. She said, "Dad, you're starving. I'm going to go take care of Ricky. If you want food, you better come along because I'm leaving now." I had to be careful not to tell her that I had open heart surgery. She'd have been there, or she'd have died trying to get there. I told my brother, "Don't tell her. Don't upset her. She doesn't need to know." That's how sweet moms are. She'd have been here. She'd have found some way. Today, honor your mom. Love on her, would you? Treat her with respect. Show her the dignity that deserving of a mom. She's given her life for you. She's brought you to this church. She cares about your spirit. She cares about your soul. She cares about your walk with God. She cares about your life, every aspect of it. Lord, thank you for our moms. Anybody said, amen. Let's pray. Father,